Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Chris Kaufman is here. Simon Clancy is not here because it's award season again in London. So, Chris.
What award are we giving him?
I don't know. He has so many at this point, but... I believe that's what he's doing right now, or he's skimping out on our offensive free agency preview, which is we're gonna bring some news on this show, by the way.
Well, so, not to brag, but just about a month ago, I did receive an award.
Really?
Yeah, I'm part of an NFL pick'em group where we pick against the spread, and you know. You have to pick your 7-pointer, 5-pointer, 3-pointer, you know, that kind of thing. Uh-huh. And but you pick all of the games, and I've won it before. I've won the trophy. Like there's 20 some odd people participating. I've won it before and got the plaque, but this year I got the special award, which is a construction helmet with a certain. Sexual implement glued on top of it because I forgot to make my picks like 5 weeks.
So that was your award.
Yeah, I'll just say it outright. It's a dildo helmet.
Okay. Yeah, in my fantasy league, in my money fantasy league, the loser of the league is. Which means the guy who finishes dead last in the league by points and record is known as the shithead for an entire year. And he's required to wear a cap that has a plastic ball of crap on top of it.
Yeah. Well, that's similar, except this is a, this is not fake poop. This is,
And I'm proud to announce that I've never won the shithead award in my fantasy league. But yeah. I am, however, the Buffalo Bills of my fantasy league because I've been to 4 Super Bowls and you know how many I've won?
What?
0.
Ah. I did have last year I had a strong fantasy. I don't play fantasy as often as people think. I probably think I do. And I was in one league last year and no leagues this year. And I won the league last year. So I was pretty proud of that. But I figured, you know, what's the use of having won, you know, this whole big pick'em league, which comes with a big cash prize, by the way. But not having gotten the bottom award, you got to have both.
Yeah.
You got to have your name on the plaque and also, you know, keep the the helmet for a year.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I also have a very, very dubious distinction in my league, which is I've managed to have the number one seed and the points championship, which is the regular season championship, the team that had the most points in the regular season, right? Mm-hmm. And the one seed, which brings a bye, okay? Because in my league, it's a 12-team league and 7 teams make the playoffs, and we have the same system as the NFL, which means only one team has a bye. And everybody else plays in the wild card round, right? I have the dubious distinction of having 3 number one seeds and 3 points championships and losing in the first round all 3 years. So I've done that, yes. As always, this show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Use promo code 5, FIBE. By the way, I got a Prize Picks going right now. Okay, so... I'll be tuning in pretty soon to a Utah game. And if you deposit $100, it's a one-time rollover, which means it's essentially free. Okay, it's a free $100 bet. Take it. Promo code 5FIVE. Of course, betteredge.com. Go to betteredge.com/5reasons, and you get $25 just for signing up. All right, this is our offensive or offensive NFL free agent preview.
Well, it's already offensive because I just talked about the dildo helmet.
And we're going to cover certain spots here that I believe the Dolphins are going to be in on. We will break a little news toward the end of the show or the second half of the show. That's an old tease, like, you know, because if I break the news right now, people will listen and they turn off the show.
You don't know.
Yeah. So what you got to do is you got to break the news like toward the end and keep them like hanging the whole show until they get to that point where we break the news, and then they can leave. Okay.
Alf, well, you mean to suggest that some of our listeners don't get all the way through our 2-hour episodes?
No, that's no way. They're right.
No, yeah. Surely you jest.
You know, it's also, you know, like, you know, not that I would force anybody to listen through the entire episode and then listen to it again and again and again and just put on a loop, like while they sleep. You can mute
that's
it.
That's what I do.
Okay, that's what you I can do. Mute it, right? Because if you do that, it runs through our ads. And you know what happens when our ads get heard, like theoretically heard? Little dollar signs start.
Like nickels, like a little, like throwing one in a jar. Like,
that's exactly. It. So every time you hear like a verbal ad,
but I'll put it on. I put it on as my white noise at night. The sound of my own voice always puts me to sleep.
All right, that's enough. All right, we've bored our listeners enough with all this banter. Dolphins need a backup quarterback because that Jeff Darlington tweet. Oh my God, it was orgasmic. I felt so good.
You know what? I feel like in the time
it felt like taking a shit. That
in
tweet.
In the space between our last episode and this episode,
we signed every
an entire quarterback controversy went through its complete cycle. Yes. Like it wasn't there, and then it was there, and then it got heavier, and then you got like, you know, multiple people getting on it, and then it's got squashed like an hour ago. Or a couple hours ago.
Yes. Jeff Darlington. Thank you. Our prince. Our knight in shining armor. It was beautiful. Yeah, he in case nobody knows, he came in, he said, Lamar Jackson, no. Not a Dolphin. Is not going to be a Miami Dolphin.
This is literally, I think, when the genesis of it at the Combine. And the Dolphins did their usual. Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer, Chris Greer, talked at the start of the combine. Mike McDaniel did as well. That's right. And one of the questions, you know, was about the fifth year option for Tua Tagovailoa, and Chris Greer just kind of casually mentioned, you know, yeah, well, there are a lot of, you know, a lot of factors about enacting that fifth year. So we have until May 1st to decide. So, you know, we'll decide by May 1st, you know, we're not necessarily going to do it right now. And there's really no reason to do it before May 1st, in my opinion. And that goes for any quarterback. And that got the ball rolling. Cause then all of a sudden Josina Anderson comes out with a tweet that suggests that the Dolphins are looking at all of their options, all quarterbacks this offseason, not just Tua Tagovailoa. And then, you know, I think other people sort of picked up on that. And there's always been sort of a thing between Lamar Jackson and the Dolphins. Cause honestly, I think Lamar would like to play for the Dolphins.
Yes.
You know, there's always been that thing. So it just snowballed. It snowballed and snowballed. And then you got, you know, our good friends at Pro Football Talk over here talking as if it is a certainty that the Dolphins are gonna jump in on Lamar Jackson after.
Don't
the
forget
draft,
Rich Eisen. Right? Don't forget Rich Eisen. He's not in his hands are not clean on this one.
He just riffs a little bit on his live show. I mean, he's and he did ask for people to really listen to the context, and I think that was important. But yeah, so it just kept snowballing, and it's like, come on. I mean, the Dolphins came out right at the end of the season and said Tua's the guy for next year, and Tua, Tua's we're still rolling with him. He's our guy. We'll get a backup, that sort of thing. They said all that, and here I thought, shame on me, for thinking, oh, well, this is going to be a. It's going to be a quiet off season. Then we're not going to have all this Tua controversy all off season.
Mm-hmm.
But little did I know, people can turn a fart into a hurricane. And I think, that's what happened.
Yeah. And of course it was a fun day, with the dueling sources. Ian Rappaport was nicer than Jeff Darlington, but credit has to go to the Dolphins, because we kind of know who put Jeff Darlington up to this, right?
Jeff Darlington has great sources on the Dolphins. We know that.
He's essentially a front office member.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, if you ever watched Jeff Darlington at Miami Gardens, he has, the run of the place. Like, he goes anywhere and everywhere. Like, he is what Jay Glazer was to Brian Flores.
Well, he's also the biggest Mike McDaniel cheerleader. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's to Mike McDaniel what Jay Glazer used to be to Brian Flores,
yeah.
Full run of the place, all. So look, we're not going to talk
about.
So
that's over.
yeah, that's done. Thank God. We're not going to talk about Carson Wentz and Gardner Minshew because, and I hope this does not blow up in my face, but I was told no, stop it. Stop mentioning those guys to me.
Stop it with Gardner Minshew. We always should have known that Gardner Minshew was not in it for the Dolphins, because Daryl Bevel had him in Jacksonville. I've mentioned this on previous podcasts, but he was sort of a local legend in Jacksonville, and hadn't performed, a little bit Ryan Fitzpatrick in Jacksonville. And then he ran into Daryl Bevel and his offense, and he didn't even last a preseason. He got traded for a beer can. And so that was never going to happen. Gardner Minshew, I couldn't say anything either way on Carson Wentz. I just know that there's been a kind of a dark cloud hanging around him.
Yes.
And in fact, they specifically mentioned, or I've seen it specifically mentioned that, that one of the reasons he's out is he can't, they don't think he can function as a backup quarterback, and he doesn't add to the quarterback room, whatever that means, And that's considering that was number one thing that Mike McDaniel said he was looking for last year in a backup. Yes. That eliminates him too. So Gardner Minshew, Carson Wentz, no.
All right. Now we're going to get into a couple of names here before we settle on what I think. And maybe you could add to the group of what I think is the more likely scenarios, but I'm going to throw some names out there. Okay. And I guess we could go back and forth on these a little bit. I don't think we could go too much, too in depth here with these guys, but it's a certainty, I think, if Jimmy Garoppolo wants to be the backup here, he'll be the backup here. But basically, he's alluding to he has a lot of suitors, including one that kind of makes sense, man. Houston, why wouldn't Houston sign Jimmy Garoppolo, play him for a year, and whoever they draft is the quarterback next year? That makes so much sense to me. And I think that might be where he goes.
Well, and here's the thing, though. It does make sense to it doesn't make sense to just hand the keys to Jimmy Garoppolo and expect that he's going to make it through, even three quarters of the season, because that's not his history, and this is a much more extensive history than than what we've been talking about with Tua. You know, so no, that's not reasonable. What is reasonable is thinking that we're gonna essentially handcuff Jimmy Garoppolo with a new rookie. There's four major quarterbacks in this class, right? In this QB class, the draft. So handcuff him with one of the major quarterback prospects, that works. However, the problem there is that doesn't, you don't pay $35 million or whatever, $30 to $35 million for that.
No,
you don't. Nobody does. So Jimmy's ask is going to have to come way down.
I completely agree. Yeah, and the Raiders also make sense. It turns out that Josh McDaniel, I've been reading this, was actually a huge proponent for shit canning Tom Brady and handing the keys over to Jimmy Garoppolo. So maybe there's some strong feeling there, and maybe that's a landing spot. So we'll put him on the back burner because I think he's the Dolphins QB2 if the music stops playing in this game of musical chairs and he's just standing around. Like the John Travolta meme, like, okay, where am I going?
Yeah. And that's exactly how it played out last year.
Yes.
Last offseason. And at the end of the day, the San Francisco 49ers were like, all right, fine, come back. You know, and we'll toss you this little contract that's loaded with incentives for playing time. And I think Miami Dolphins could end up in exactly that position. That same position as the 49ers were last year, you know, sort of, you know, signing somebody that is ostensibly going to compete with Skylar Thompson, but at the end of the, you know, when the music stops playing, as you say, and Jimmy doesn't have anywhere to go, if he doesn't have anywhere to go by that point, then it could work out.
Now, I'm going to mention a name. This guy was highly touted. I think we both liked him. He went to a downtrodden garbage dumpster fire of a franchise, and they won a division and they won a playoff game.
Yeah.
2 years later, they throw him in the trash and they give the largest contract in the history of the sport to a guy that we don't particularly like too much as a human being, but is a fabulous quarterback, maybe.
Well, at least he used to be.
He wasn't good last year.
We haven't seen him be a good quarterback in like 3 years.
Yeah, that could be the worst contract in the history of sports. But Baker Mayfield is out there, and I don't know. Like, that's something that can get me a little excited if Tua has to sit a couple of games. Baker Mayfield with these weapons. Like, when did it go so bad for him? When did it become trash? When did it become QB2 fodder? Is there a possibility here? Do you like him?
I've always liked Baker Mayfield. So, you know, yeah, I do like him. And I think that his strengths would actually play into the system too. But it's just a shame because, you know, I hate the where there's smoke, there's fire thing, but the Browns made it clear that when they went for the serial predator, they were doing it in large part to get a character upgrade,
which is awful.
Now, what the fuck does that say about you as a person, as a locker room personality, as a player, whatever, that's the case? You know,
yes,
like,
right?
Like, seriously, look, you need to sit yourself in a dark room like Aaron Rodgers for 4 days and do some internal contemplation. Because seriously, WTF. So, I mean, Baker Mayfield, and considering, I kind of think the Dolphins could take a different lesson into this offseason. It's just a pet theory of mine. But considering last offseason, Mike McDaniel's number one thing about this QB2 spot was how he functions in that quarterback room. and how he, you know, how he backs up the starter and supports the starter. And the signs aren't good that Baker Mayfield would be great at that.
No. No, it's not. And especially, and what does this say that the Rams pick him up? And you're thinking to yourself, you know what? This is kind of sneaky here. You know what I mean? Matthew Stafford's not going to be there forever. He's an older guy.
He's, you know, he's very injured too, or he's had some serious, he had some serious health issues.
Yeah. And he's had, yeah. And he's had arm issues. And usually when a big arm guy has an arm issue, that's a problem. Like it, yeah, it goes, problem. We saw it down here in Miami. It went downhill fast for Dan Marino as soon as he had that shoulder injury.
Yep.
So
pinch nerve in the neck, over.
Yeah. And then they pick up Baker Mayfield and you're thinking to yourself, man, this is a sneaky move here. Like this is kind of smart. Because he can, you know, he can be the understudy for a year or two, and then voila, it's the, you know, it's the summer of 2025, and in training camp, the starting quarterback is Baker Mayfield. The Rams don't want him anymore. He was only there for 3 weeks.
Well, which is so weird because, like, you know, he came in with like zero, almost zero prep, right?
And won a game on Monday Night Football.
And won a game. And won a game, you know, against the Raiders.
Knocked the Raiders out of the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, it's but the Rams don't want him. And you know, like you said, when you've been given up on by three teams, you're starting to look, it's starting to look Jeff George-ish.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that's not a place anybody wants to be.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Okay. I don't think we want to be in the Sam Darnold business. Unless you want
to, you got to. I don't think Sam Darnold wants to be in the Sam Darnold business.
So, all right, we're moving on to Sam Darnold. Marcus Mariota, you want to, do you like the symmetry there?
You know, I don't know that he plays, I don't know that he plays well in this system, to be very honest with you, but you know, obviously there is a pre-existing relationship between he and Tua, and there would be reasons to believe that, you know, he would function well as that QB2, maybe because of that relationship. But also, I mean, there were questions over desire in Atlanta,
and they sent him home. They told him go home.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I don't want to say, I'm gonna imply, but I don't want to say, but you know, I feel like we might have just gone through some issues with our current QB2 that way.
Yes.
And so, I, you know, maybe they're gonna take a lesson from that.
Yeah, and they'll move on, and I think we should too. Mm-hmm. I was speaking today on a Bills podcast, and they were giving me the Case Keenum might be done signal, so we won't mention Case Keenum.
He's 35.
It caught up on him quick, right? Like, you would not have thought
never,
that.
He was never that good to begin with.
He had that 1 year. He'll always have that magical year in Minnesota, okay? Yeah. Where he was so one of the best quarterbacks in football.
So Matt Castle has that 1 year, you know? Like, yeah. Elvis Gerbach had that 1 year, you know?
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the real group right here. Okay, this is where I think the QB2 is probably going to come out of. Taylor Heinicke, yep. Andy Dalton. I'm it's growing on me, okay? Yep. And then the San Francisco guys, Nick Mullins, Nate Sudfeld, okay?
Yep.
I think that's the group. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But
you know, you couldn't have gotten it better because, frankly – those four plus Jimmy Garoppolo were the exact. I wrote up a big free agency preview on OnlyFans, mm-hmm. and like zero people in the chat actually commented on it, which was funny. But the five quarterbacks that I had were those five. So
yeah, well, where are you going with, wait, man?
I didn't do Sudfeld. I did Mike White.
Okay, yeah, Mike White also lobbying to become the QB2 here in Miami, and he actually mentioned QB2. Like, he actually mentioned being, yeah, I would love to be the backup there. So that's kind of interesting. I saw him play in Minnesota, and he had that I'm gonna blow myself up and the team along with you. You know what I mean? Type of thing, which I don't want in my QB2. You know what I want my QB2 to be? I want him to be wallpaper. I want him to be boring. And at the end of the game, we have more points than the other team. That was
I mean,
way too volatile. Okay.
yeah, he is a volatile player. He'll either have an absolutely perfect game or an absolutely atrocious game.
Not
And
for me.
yeah, and that is something to deal with.
But something was explained to me today, and I was told, look, you don't have to think about it. Taylor Heinicke won 5 games on a team that was not particularly good. He was 5-3 before they wanted to throw the keys to Sam Howell. He had them in the playoff race. He was a bad call in the end zone. I saw that call. That was pass interference in the end zone. That was a bad call. Remember that the Giants made this whole run and they won a playoff game? That could have been Washington because Washington was playing that game at home for full control of that wild card spot. Okay. So that could have been Washington playing in that game. A bad call cost them that game. Cost Taylor Heinicke his job. But he was 5-3. Man, don't even think about it. Throw the money his way. He's the QB2, in my
Did
opinion.
you know that he runs a 4.62?
I did not know that, but now that you tell me that, I want him more.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah. I think that's where we're going, right? That's what we want.
You know, I think that that's a really good, I think that might be the best. I actually worry that he might have better suitors than us. And so that I am concerned about that. So that's why, you know, honestly, I think this could be heading toward though. You know, Skylar Thompson, they played a playoff game with him, right? As a rookie, nearly won it. Like you talk about like the scared of the unknowns thing, or the devil you know, right? How much did the fear have to come, fear factor have to come down? Having seen Skylar Thompson go up into Buffalo and nearly win the and nearly win the game as the backup quarterback, as a rookie, you know, so a low pick rookie. I think that there's something to be said there that it's not that they want him to be QB2. It's that they might feel like they're playing with house money a little bit because of that. To where they can take a chance and maybe wait out Jimmy Garoppolo, or maybe it's waiting out Taylor Heinicke. Maybe Taylor Heinicke is the one that's playing, you know, kind of playing if the phone doesn't ring, it's me, through the off season, trying to get that starter position and not really getting the right situation. But I think that the Dolphins may, because of that, they may just opt for somebody that's going to compete with Skylar Thompson. You know, like you know, Taylor Heinicke is going to be, and Jimmy Garoppolo, they're going to be thinking that they're competing with Tua Tagovailoa, right? Or they're going to treat it that way, you know? Nick Mullins and Mike White, they're going to be like, I got to beat out Skylar Thompson.
Yes.
You know? So
They're also
I
at the
think
sweet spot. Mike White and Nick Mullins, 27 years old. I kind of dig that. You
Yeah, I
know,
mean
Andy Dalton at
they could
35.
go with one of those and
Yeah, Andy Dalton
then
at
just see.
35. Andy Dalton at 35. Man, he's at that age where if you want to get this done, QB2 done, day one, day two of free agency, just, you know, that's one of the guys that you slide the contract over to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you tell him, sign it. You know? You know, it's no big deal. But yeah, moving on. Let's do running backs here, and then on the second
Okay.
half of the show, we'll do tight ends and the offensive line because I don't think we're going to talk too much about wide receivers.
Yeah, I don't think we have much to say there.
But running backs have it on pretty good authority. They want to run it back with the entire room. Maybe they make a splash by using one of those top 100 picks on a running back. It's a great class. But there's some players out here. And I'll just throw a couple. Now, Rashad Penny, if you just look at him wrong, he's going to be on IR for 4 weeks, okay?
Yeah.
But my God, when he plays, man. this guy can play. Like this is a good NFL player. But the problem is kind of injury prone. Fits the system. Good speed. Like? No.
Not my favorite, to be honest. I've taken some hard looks at him, and I'm not sure that I, relative to what I think he's going to ask for. You know, it's almost like, well, at that point, just I know we're getting Raheem Mostert back, or at least I'm pretty sure we're getting Raheem Mostert back. I think everybody involved is motivated. But at that point, why not just get back Jeff Wilson? Like, are we really? I don't know. I don't know that I see Rashad Penny as a major upgrade over Jeff Wilson. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. Moving on, a big name. Were you aware? Because I wasn't. The Miles Sanders ran for 1,200 yards on a 4.9 yard per carry.
I was aware of that. Yeah.
He's going to be expensive, huh? And completely out of our range is what I'm thinking.
Well, unless the market is just that flooded, you know.
Yeah. Although it's not. It's not anymore. Well, you saw it today. Everybody got tagged today.
Yeah. No, that's true. You know, looking at the top of the market, yeah, it's really just, you know, Devin Singletary, David Montgomery, and Miles Sanders. And maybe Raheem Mostert might fit into that. I don't know what his market will be, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah, you got a name for us? Because I saw you talking about Jerick McKinnon, and then I noticed he's going to be 31 this season. I'm out on that alone.
Well, yeah, and the age is, well, Raheem Mostert is 31 too. So
he's a track star. So
yeah, that's the point with Jerick McKinnon. Like the way that he contributes is you know is such that I'm not that worried about the age. I think that he's okay that way. I think there's just a lot of experience there, experience together, I should say, Jerick McKinnon and respect with Mike McDaniel. But you know, there are some other guys that I would look at. Actually, my favorite name is Boston Scott. Of the Eagles, and that is another speed demon. He's small, like 5'7", 200 pounds. But imagine this, like it's sort of like this thing in Philadelphia. Even though he's that small, like he gets goal line carries and he gets touchdowns. I think he scored like 16 touchdowns the last, you know, 4 years or something like that. So he's got a lot of touchdowns to his name, and he can also catch the ball, and he's a speedy guy, and he's a good fit, system fit. And I think that we're looking for speed. And so I know that the power that he plays with, surprising power for, you know, kind of Maurice Jones-Drew kind of short, squatty guy that is more powerful than you'd think. I think that that drew Mike McDaniel to Jeff Wilson when he was a college player. And I wonder what he thinks of Boston Scott, you know, if he has taken a look.
Yeah, another name that's completely fallen out of favor in New England, and I think he's going to be a hot name, and he's of the right age, is Damian Harris. I don't think he's a fit, but I fall back on, man, he's a good player, and 26 years old, like, what's wrong with him, is what I would say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you follow the trajectory, it just went from 5 yards a carry and upticking, then 900 yards and 4.6 per carry and the bell cow of a playoff team. Then this past year, he wasn't even really injured. He was inactive for a couple of games. Started eight, yeah. And Ramondre Stevenson just took his job. He's a Jimmy Sexton guy, which means he's well known in these parts. Same agency as a lot of people connected to Stephen Ross, which is CAA. So good football player. Like what's wrong with him? Like is this a scratch and dent, or, you know, what's wrong with him? Like,
you know, quite frankly, I wish I could say I had great insider knowledge of this, with the Patriots. But I don't. What I will say is I would love it if Damian Harris were to go to the Dolphins. I like the player. I think he consistently plays well. I think he's a good, you know, he can be a good pass blocker. I think he's a good runner. He's a good pass catcher. I think, you know, all the way around. I would love it if he was here. I think a lot of teams would love it. And I think a lot of teams might give him, you know, you're like, what happened? What happened? And I kind of tend to think, you know, that's Belichick for you.
Yeah.
You know, like the, in a single line, that would be it, you know? And so I think what happened to him, you know, Belichick has a very idiosyncratic way that he does things, you know, at the running back position, especially, and Belichick happened, you know, that's what happened. So I think he is prime candidate to go to a greener pasture.
All right. One last guy. And unless you want to interject somebody else, you're aware that James Robinson is 24 years old.
Yeah. I wasn't aware he's that young, but I did love that player.
I don't think he has a home next season, because what are you gonna do with Michael Carter? You're getting Breece Hall back. Breece Hall has that superstar look, right?
Yeah.
You know, what's the use of having somebody like James Robinson around? He was brought in basically in desperation, I thought. Like, why would you trade a pick? It reminded me of that Gordon trade after Ricky Williams spurned us that year, and we ran out there and signed Larry Gordon, what was it, for
Lamar Gordon.
Yeah, Lamar. Yeah, and we traded a third round pick or something for him. Like, it was just desperation. I think that's what the Jets did. And he found himself injured, James Robinson. Bad season this past year, but you could blame it on injuries. Man, that's a heady signing if they pull it off. 24-year-old?
I've always liked the player. I've always liked him. I think that he was an underrated player. I don't know what his health situation is at all. Like, you know, is he done it? Is he cooked at 24 years old? I don't know. But that would, you know, you're naming guys now, Damian Harris, James Robinson, that I'd be like, you know, legitimately pretty excited about if they were to come here.
Yeah. One last one, I guess, because we have a little time. Donta Foreman found himself with the number one spot in Carolina, kind of a power back, and he would be a compliment, I think, to what we already have as far as in speed. Just had a monster year, 900 yards, 4.5 per carry, big, powerful back. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
I mean, calling him a power back is like calling Ironhead Hayward a power back. I mean, he's like, Donta Foreman has always been humongous, you know, as a prospect coming out of college, and you know what he is, you know, can he? I don't think he's a fit here at all. I'm gonna be honest.
You don't think it helps with our 3rd-and-1 problem?
Oh yeah, it would. I just don't know that our team is committed to that sort of answer, And I think that 3rd-and-1 and short yardage is too novel of a situation for them to end up with a specific back for it that ends up on the active roster on game day. Yeah, so I'm not sure that the fit is great with Donta Foreman, because I don't think that he's got the quickness. The overall speed, the acceleration that they're looking for, in this system. And I think that the short yardage thing might be too novel of a situation to justify him as an RB2, to put up with the other things that maybe don't fit with the system just because of that short yardage, need. I do wish they'd figure out short yardage, but I don't think that's going to be the answer. Now that I say that, they'll sign him. But
yeah. Yeah, and I lied. I'm going to mention one more guy, and then we could go to break. I'm not going to mention Jamal Williams. He has a good thing in Detroit. Just ran for 1,000 yards, and he had 17 rushing touchdowns. Did you know he had 17 rushing touchdowns?
No, I didn't, but I do know that there's mutual interest in getting that done back.
Yes, in Detroit, he's a perfect fit over there. He, like I said, he just had a season where he had 17 touchdowns. That would fix our 3rd-and-1 problem, but I think
Crazy.
they'll pay for it and we won't. So he's not a consideration. But I'm told that there was some interest and then some delusion on behalf of Kareem Hunt. Do you think that's something they might revisit? He had a big number. I don't think he's going to have a big number anywhere anymore. He is 27. He will be 28 in season. So do you
You
think
know,
that's something that they revisit? Or you
I
think they
think
got
it's
turned off by what transpired already?
A, yeah, I do think they might have gotten turned off. B, it's another one of those situations where it's not going to happen right at this. It's not going to happen in the first couple of days of free agency. It's going to happen like it stretches on. He's still available after the draft, and he still doesn't have a home. And they're like, you know, hey, so I think that's something to keep an eye out for. And you know, it's sort of a waiting game. And I think the Dolphins are going to be in a lot of this waiting game actually, because they have limited resources. So I think people need to be aware of that. You know, we always want the flurry of activity right at the, you know, right at the midnight, of that first day. And I think that the Dolphins are not necessarily in position for that sort of flurry of activity. I think that they will be playing the waiting game and looking for value propositions. A couple of value propositions that I would also point out would be Mike Boone of Denver. I think he's a good fit. You know, he's fast. He's a standout player. I've seen him stand be a standout in blocking. I think that he's had some injury issues that have derailed him. Familiar name to you, Travis Homer is another speedy fit. I'm looked at him. I've looked at his
That's an easy sign for me. That guy's a good special teamer. He catches it, he can run with it. He'll do it. He'll return kicks. Like he'll do anything you ask him to do. Those are the kind of guys that you want at the bottom of the roster.
Exactly. And look at his body too. Like look at his body and the way that I mean, he's got like no fat, and he, you know, he clearly is rocked up and works very hard at the sport. That'll appeal to them. I think that he's a good fit. You know, somebody I just threw out there was Darrell Williams, who used to be a big part of the Rams' offense, very similar to Miami's offense. So you know, maybe because of that, I don't know. I don't know what's up with him lately, but you know, that's just someone else I threw his name I threw out there.
All right, and that's going to do it for the first half of the show. When we come back, we will talk tight ends and the offensive line. Very little on the wide receivers. I don't think they're signing another one this coming season. But first, these words. Do you have a water leak and can't find where it's coming from? Are you dealing with water or mold damage in your home or business? Then call Water Cleanup of Florida at 954-579-0356 for immediate assistance. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, and their team is prepared to handle all types of leak detection issues, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. After the leak has been located and repaired, Water Cleanup of Florida will then clean, dry, and fully restore the damaged areas. Water Cleanup of Florida is fully licensed, insured, and certified to provide the one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. There is no need to bring in other contractors. They will handle the entire project from start to finish. Service areas include Miami, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. 579-0356 or visit their website at WCUFL.com. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
And we're back. All right, Chris. they're going to need a tight end here because Gesicki's going to be elsewhere. Okay. Like, that's a fact.
Should we even say anything about wide receiver before we get in there?
If you want to mention wide receivers in passing, go ahead. Well, I think they signed Sherfield.
Do you think they'll be able to re-sign Trent Sherfield? I personally have thought so, yes. But, you know.
I think there's a lot of goodwill. But yeah, you know how free agency works. There's always – you never know the maniac that's going to go out there and it's going to say, 5 years, $40 million. And we're like, what?
Yeah. Hey, yeah. What happened? That's what it is. I mean, so if we were to pretend that we might lose him, let's also keep in mind Cedric Wilson is still on this roster.
Yes.
So even if we did lose Trent Sherfield, like the original plan was Cedric Wilson, and he did everything they wanted him to do. You know, he was a good sport about the fact that Trent Sherfield took his spot.
Are you going to ask me if there's a quick fix? Because I have one already, and it's at the top of the list.
Well, I'm just saying if Sherfield doesn't come back and we want to, like, you know, I mentioned Marquise Goodwin and Richie James. I also think that Byron Pringle and Jacoby Myers could fit too. And, you know, it's basically whoever comes cheapest. But yeah, you know,
as far as an older guy, man, but such a good professional wide receiver is Robert Woods, man.
Yeah, I had him in there too. I don't know how much Trent is off tires at this point, but yeah.
You know, there's some players, you know, there's some players out there. DJ Shark found himself back on in the free agent market. I don't know if he's going to get any money. He's 26 years old. I think he might, you know, so he might be priced out of what we want. You know, who's also a free agent, Matt Collins. He's a fit, he fits that speed profile that they're looking for.
And you know, I took a look at Olamide Zaccheaus back in college once upon a time, and you know, he's had an NFL career so far. You know, he does work out there. So you know, that's, you know, maybe because this is slot guy. You know, but yeah. Anyway, that's probably more than enough at that position. It's just, you know, names to keep in mind.
Mecole Hardman is going to be 25 in season. He's a free agent.
So, you know, and Tyreek Hill really respects him.
So that's also a fit. So if things don't work out with what they have on the roster right now, and, you know, like, I would expect nothing to happen on the roster except re-signing Trent Sherfield and River Craycraft, give or take. You know, I like the player. He's always, like, he's never had a bad moment here in Miami, except he did not. That was not a good route that he ran against the Jets, and Ahmad Sauce Gardner picked off Skylar Thompson, but it was also a terrible pass from Skylar Thompson.
You hold on to these things, man.
Okay. So, you know, if it doesn't work out for them, man, there's plenty of quick fixes. Yeah. I'll give you another one.
Like, and
I'm, guy, I'm going down this list.
How about a guy named Eric Ezekiel?
Oh my God. Like, yeah. You know, why don't you step up?
You mean, buddy, we might actually play him?
Yeah. Right. I'll give you another one. Noah Brown. He's 27 years old. Have you watched that guy play?
Not recently.
6'2", 230 pounds and can run. Okay. It's just that Dallas is kind of dumb and they don't throw him the ball enough, but he's this year's Cedric Wilson. Okay. Yeah. Cause he had 500 yards receiving. Okay. Off the bench. All right. But Noah Brown is, that's an intriguing name because he kind of fits that size profile. I don't know what kind of blocker he is. I don't know if he's as good a blocker as, you know, Trent Sherfield is, but he fits that size profile and speed profile that they kind of like. And he's cheap because he just finished playing for $1 million. So, you know, yeah, there's not going to be a problem, I don't think, if something unforeseen happens with Trent Sherfield, and there's always a possibility, like I said, somebody could just scream out of nowhere, 5 years, $40 million, and then we're stuck, you know, because we're not paying that. We're not paying him $8 million a year and 15 guaranteed. Like, that's not happening. So, but we shall see. I don't think that too much is going to transpire there. I think there's a lot of goodwill, and I think they'll try to square away Trent Sherfield as soon as possible. All right, moving on to the tight ends. Yeah, Gesicki's not coming back. He's going to be elsewhere. I really don't think that they're going to be in on Dalton Schultz. Too expensive. Somebody's going to make a splash with Schultz somewhere. They're going to get a really nice player. I just don't think that's us. There is one guy I do like, and I got company in Dolphin podcast world, Chris, because Kyle Krabs has come out with his signing slate, and he has at tight end 3 years, $24 million with 11 guaranteed, Foster Moreau from.
Oh, God. Here we go.
We're doing it again. Yes, we are.
This is Kalen Balazs.
The man is going to be 26. The man is going to be 26 in season, man. Okay. I like his tape. I like the way he played this past season. I think he's a fit. He's a yak guy. Good blocker. He has some nice looking tape. Good pass receiver. Stepped in for Darren Waller this past year. Had 400 yards receiving. Man, such a good fit. And he's young. Good pedigree from LSU. Yeah, I think this is an easy signing. And I think we could pry him away from the Raiders, because the Raiders' pitch to him is, yeah, we like this 12 personnel thing that we do with Josh Jacobs and Darren Waller, and we want you to be the third banana in this group. He comes here. He's the first banana in the tight end group. I say make it happen. I like the player. I like the fit. Your thoughts?
I think I'm trying to keep myself on track, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, we lose Mike Gesicki. What was he for the team? He was the team's second tight end, the move tight end, you know, the guy that might get split off in the slot, the guy that is, you know, at the end of the line, kind of in an H-back position. You know, he's their move tight end. And, you know, if I think about what Foster Moreau brings to the table, it's not necessarily that. This would be a replacement of Durham Smythe, essentially. And I don't know if the Dolphins are out to replace Durham Smythe so much as they're out to replace Mike Gesicki. And so I think they did start to see some things toward the end of the year from Hunter Long that they're going to want to explore a little bit. I don't know if that's the type of tight end that they're going to go for, if they go for one at all. And it might just be straight up drafting. So I'm not fully on board with that, with Foster Moreau as the right type that they're going to actually go for.
Disappointing.
I think Dalton Schultz, you know, number one is none of this matters. None of this matters unless you fix, and we'll get to right tackle, but
yes.
You know, we sent the most help in the NFL toward our tackles, and by a long margin. And I think that none of it matters with the tight end position. We'll just be spinning our wheels, whoever it is, unless we fix that first. So that's why, that would be why no Dalton Schultz. But it's hard to, or maybe it's easy to forget. I don't know, but Dalton Schultz, he does look perfect for this offense. Like if you're going to sign a guy and you're like, hey, this is the guy that fits the offense, and this is the, you know, this is my George Kittle sort of, you know, kind of guy. You know, he's the guy that fits, but I share your opinion. I don't think they're going to necessarily go for him, but that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah. I like Ferraris. I can't afford one though.
Yeah, right. Well, right. Exactly.
I don't think they're in the market. I think they're penny pinching at this position.
And ultimately you're probably right. But,
you know, I don't think they have the money for a Dalton Schultz, and I don't think they're going to get lucky on, you know, on some type of wink and a nod on a 1 year deal. I think that's not happening either. So, you know, I like Foster Moreau, but there's a couple other names that some listeners have thrown our way. we're not going to mention like some names like Irv Smith. I don't think is a fit. I don't think he's a good player. Okay.
No,
I understand he's 20. I understand he's 24 years old. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I know he went to Alabama. So all the symmetry is there. You know, what's not there. The good football player.
Yeah.
Okay. But there's some like quick fixes, which I don't think, and I think you agree with me, they won't do. Like Jeff Swaim, good blocker. What's the use? You have Jeff Swaim. You have a better Jeff Swaim on the team, right?
Yeah.
Which is Durham Smythe, right?
Right.
So if we're talking about like a pass catcher, you think Ross Dwelly is, it's going to be as simple as like, hey, I had that guy. I remember him. He's all right.
Yeah, I kind of do. and so I'd watch out for it. But, you know, keep in mind also that, to be fair, they've been very discerning about who they bring in from the 49ers. And the guys that they've brought in have been worth it. So so if they bring him in, that's a really good vote of confidence in his favor. On the other hand, you know, if they don't bring him in, then it's sort of like, oh, you know, I see.
One thing I like to do is I like to track the agents for all these players. Foster Moreau's agent is Seth Katz, Joe Linta from JL Sports. They don't have a single Miami Dolphin.
Huh.
So I think me and Kyle Krabs are shit out of luck. Maybe. We shall see. Okay.
Yeah.
Any other tight end that kind of tickles your fancy? Because I look at this group and it's a who's who of guys that I don't give a crap about. You know, like, you know, some of these guys I look at and I say, you know what, maybe Hunter Long's all right.
That's know? I think that's a fair assessment. You like know,
Donald Parham, one guy was telling me Donald Parham can play. Really? Does it, Kenny? I don't know.
I wonder, first off, I do have a favorite, or I do have a guy, you know, sort of a low level favorite that I've watched quite a bit of and that I like him a lot, and that's Eric Saubert from the Denver Broncos. I don't know how the Denver Broncos had like the worst offense in the league last year, but they seem to have like four or five players that like sort of role player type guys that I'll be like, yeah, I take that guy on my team. He played well. Why were they so bad? You know, but Eric Saubert is a very fluid mover. He does fit the mold that I'm talking about, you know, a replacement for Mike Gesicki, not a replacement for Durham Smythe.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, he's definitely a better blocker than Gesicki. I know that's not hard. But he does get after it, so to speak. And I think that I've watched a bunch of the tight ends from the free agency, right? And it's all just like a bunch of, you know, who cares about this guy? This guy, you know, this was probably the first guy that I had watched that I was like, oh, okay. You know, wow. You know, look at the way he moves, you know, like look at his skills, like look at his run after catch skills. Like he's got a nice package of skills. I think run after catch is probably the number one trait we should be looking for in a tight end.
Did you see Foster Moreau against the Seahawks take that little 8-yard dig, another 57 yards, and then fumble at the 2-yard line? That was the that was.
I did not. It's a great see play.
It's on YouTube.
Yes. But at the same time, what is he? You know, hey, Foster Moreau. You know, he's averaging seven yards after the catch. So, that's certainly in his favor.
Yeah.
But I think Eric Saubert is good after the catch. And I think that's somebody to pay attention to. Kind of wonder in the back of my mind about Robert Tonyan as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the Packers, now that they're losing Aaron Rodgers. I mean, was Tonyan kind of his guy? And will he just walk somewhere else? Like, I don't know what his interest level is going to be, but kind of curious about him. I think Foster Moreau is not a bad name at all. I'd certainly be not excited, but like, you know, optimistic if he was there. I just wonder if that's the move exactly.
Yeah, a lot of our listeners and a lot of our members on OnlyFans, and that's $3 a month, by the way. You could check the pinned tweet on the 3 Yards Per Carry Twitter account. They really like Hayden Hurst, I guess because they remember him from the Ravens, and then they watched him catch a lot of passes this past season, which he did have a pretty good year with the Bengals. I'm not a fan. Do you know he's 30 already?
Yeah,
he was old coming in, right?
So, I've never been a fan of his, even going back to college. You know,
yeah, so,
everybody's talking about him first round. I thought that was absolutely insane.
Yeah, I don't get it, and not for me.
Yeah,
so I don't think we have to waste too much time on him. One last guy, I guess we got to go out because this, you know, he's a pretty popular name, been a good player for a while in this league, is Austin Hooper. I would say he's kind of a fit in the passing game.
I think he is. You know, a long time ago, I loved him coming out of college as well. But I think he's a fit in both phases. You know, is he, which role does he occupy? I think that he's enough of a mover, you know, a move tight end kind of guy that I think that he could fit in here as sort of a guy that goes along with and competes with Durham Smythe and Hunter Long.
All right. I think we can move on to the main event, which is the offensive line, and namely right tackle. I guess this is where I can break a little news. I have been told that that's a target in free agency or even in trade. They want to upgrade that part of the line. I would say Austin Jackson is not necessarily in their immediate plans, but evidently Liam Eikenberg is, because they haven't said anything against him since last season. So I would say that this is a place where there could be a large upgrade.
Well, I got a little worried because Chris Greer consistently brings up Austin Jackson and, you know, wanting to make sure that he can still compete for time and stuff like that, which kind of makes you think, you know, yeah, they're going to get a right tackle. I mean, you say breaking news about the they want a right tackle, but I mean, it's like the most obvious thing in the world, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, they want a tackle, but which kind of tackle? Because there's a difference between giving Mike McGlinchey $15 or $16 million a year or Cameron Fleming $3 million. You know, and so like one would be, you know, more or less competition for Austin Jackson, although it wouldn't be much of a competition. And the other would be, you know, Austin, just sit down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, you know, where the Dolphins are coming out on that spectrum is still sort of an interesting thing that we're going to find out. But yeah, it is interesting. I think what you had said, that piqued my attention, about the right tackle position is, you know, whether it be free agency or trade.
Yes.
And the trade.
Yes. And you know? I was led in one direction, and that direction means Houston. And it's pretty simple, right? If you look at what's going on in Houston, and it's also very interesting that I was led to believe that there's something going on as far as there's interest in a player that they may have in Houston. I know what our listeners are thinking. Oh my God, it's Laremy Tunsil. That's who's coming.
Well, I hope it is, but it's not.
But it's not, okay?
Although I know they would love him back.
They have a right tackle who is in the same situation as Austin Jackson, meaning he was a first-round pick that got off to not so hot of a start, but just had a pretty damn good season, really good season, if you believe in some of the metrics. Okay.
Yeah, right.
They picked up his fifth year option, and they want to get something done long term.
Now this is where I'm a little confused. Is this? I thought he was a restricted free agent.
No.
Is he a fifth year option guy?
Yeah, he's going to play this season on the fifth year option. They want to get something done. He's Christian Wilkins. Okay, that's the way they look at him.
Okay.
And he wants money, and I guess they got some sticker shock, and they're in limbo. All right. And if they're in limbo, usually what happens is when somebody's in limbo, you come in there and you say, hey, you know, if it's not going to work out for you and you're going to lose this guy, what do you say to a third round pick, you know? Or what do you say to a third and a second or 2 seconds, a second and a conditional second?
It's really concerning to me if the Texans, who are kind of in a building, you know, a rebuilding or building mode right now, if they're going to let a 27-year-old guy walk for, you know, mid-round, third-round pick, you know, as you're talking about, kind of compensation, because they don't want to pay him, you know, $13 million. And that would be a bit concerning to me. Like, what are we not knowing here? Yeah. You know, like that sort of, now as for the
now,
player,
what can he ask for? I think he can ask for those numbers, for the McGlinchey numbers, because he's kind of the same player. Really, really, really good, but not an all pro, you know?
Yeah. I don't think he's going to, I think Juwan Taylor has the ability to ask for that, you know, upwards of 17, 18, even $18 million a year. I think Mike McGlinchey has the ability to do that. It's hard to say with Tytus Howard. He is a first round pick. He's got that going for him.
They picked up his
that
50-year
ends up being
option.
Surprisingly important, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he could ask for that or not, but I know that, listen, I've watched, first off, if you want Tytus Howard, don't watch the Dolphins game.
Well,
because he got destroyed by Melvin Ingram consistently and by Christian Wilkins. And so don't watch that game. Go watch maybe him play Myles Garrett of the Cleveland Browns or some other guys. This is a guy that, you know, he just has that big, heavy bone look to him, wide frame. You're not gonna run him over, that sort of thing. But he's kind of a dancer too.
He looks light, doesn't he? He looks light to me. He's not a plotter. He's not George Fant. You know what I mean?
No. You think George Fant looks like a plotter?
George Fant is not a good mover. Not these days.
George Fant is an athlete, man.
You think even after all these injuries, he's had two bad injuries, and I was going to bring him up, by the way, because his 2021 season is something to behold. Although he had it at left tackle.
You can't get over that. But yeah. he's originally a 4.84 guy, George.
Really?
I think that Tytus Howard, you know, to me, he does kind of look like that. It reminds me a little bit of, the other guy that I keep talking about every now and then, Cameron Fleming. Big bone, big frame, a lot of heaviness, natural heaviness to his frame and strength. But I don't love – I think there's – what's interesting about Tytus Howard is if you were to take interest in him is that – because I don't think that he's a fit for the system. I don't think he's ideal fit as far as the run blocking is concerned. But one thing that is interesting about him is I think there's meat on the bone as far as continuing to polish up his technique. Mm-hmm. He kind of gets the wide hands, like, you know, when it comes to his kick slide and he's going to make contact, his punch is more like a bear hug, mm-hmm. where he's got those arms outside of his frame. Which is not a good thing to be doing, but I think that he does have some cleaning up to do, which is good because, you know, you can look at that positively because he was already pretty good this year, or effective anyway. And if he can get even better, then that's great. Not my favorite idea, to be honest. Simon was saying the same thing earlier. You know, you're going to go ahead, there are free agents available, right? You know, mm-hmm. we can just go ahead and get Mike McGlinchey and just plug him in. That's the most no-brainer thing, right?
Yeah.
And because of the offensive fit, you're gonna send like a pick, like a second round pick or something like that, and then give the money? Like how does that make sense? It only makes sense to me if it's the right, if it's really the right player. And I do think that player is out there, actually. I think there might be two of them, actually. Which, you know, if I don't know, you want me to go ahead and talk about them?
we're coming toward the end of this one, so
yeah. So you know, Mike McGlinchey is a free agent, and like I said, big no-brainer. The one drawback that everybody notices about him is that stack up all the tackles in the league that everybody accepts are starting tackles, and there aren't 64 of those, but whatever the number is, 45, 50, four starters. Guys people agree are starters. He'd be smack in the middle of them as far as pass pro is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is the most mediocre pass protector. The most mid, he really bisects the entire group of tackles, I think. And you can find
he has a consistent problem. When ends bull rush him, he catches them in his chest. And I don't know why he does that when he has such long chest. Arms.
Yeah.
Like, he can't lock guys out, you know?
Yeah, he does. He gets it right into his chest. And that's where he runs into problems. But you can run into any number of analytics metrics to back this up. He's very mid. He's very middle of the road as far as pass protection is concerned. Where he's not middle of the road is run blocking. Nope. He is a good run blocker. And if it's this system, he's a great run blocker.
Absolutely. You know?
So, I mean, we're talking to if you go to ESPN run block win rates, they have pass block win rates, but they have run block win rates too. And they use the RFID chips and, model it out on computers and stuff like that. And I think he's number five in the league.
And that's easy to see.
It jumps off the film. It's easy to see.
It pops on film all the time, because one thing that you can notice on a tackle, and especially if you want to translate, how they'll play in our system, can you hook a five tech? Because that's almost impossible, because the defensive end wants to get outside of you. Okay.
Yeah, right,
he wants
to
get your outside shoulder. He consistently hooks five techs over and over and over again. And once you're doing that, and you're allowing your tight ends out in space and a fullback like Alec Ingold out in space, good things can happen in perimeter, especially when you have Raheem Mostert. So
if you added Mike McGlinchey, you'd be thinking about the things that you could add back into this playbook.
Yes.
Not things that you have to take away from it, and so that's the appeal. Is it worth $16 million a year? You know what I mean? I don't know the answer. It's not my money. I don't know the answer to that. I keep mentioning Cameron Fleming. He only made $1 million this year. So how much of a pay raise do you think he could really get? But he had his finest year as a pro, and his technique is looking, as polished as I've ever seen it. And
we talked about this on OnlyFans, but we haven't mentioned it on the podcast. They went after him in 2018. That wasn't Greer, right? That's Tannenbaum and company.
Right.
So he spurned us. So that's not on, like, Greer is not going to remember, like, okay, this guy said.
Well, I mean, he might just remember that he was interested in the guy. Who knows? But Fleming, this is the lower cost option at right tackle. He was a much better pass protector this year, than a lot of people. Bring out your favorite, aside from Jawan Taylor. bring out your favorite right tackle, and I'll defy you that Cameron Fleming was actually a better pass protector. But the run blocking is not the greatest fit. He doesn't have that lateral burst that Mike McGlinchey does. That overall ability on the move that Mike McGlinchey does. So Cameron Fleming doesn't have that. If you're looking for somebody to keep Tua healthy, he could definitely do that. So there's those two guys if you're looking strictly at free agency. But I think that they could look at the trade market, and in particular, I'm interested in two restricted free agents, because the word out of Dallas is that Terrence Steele is only going to get a second round tender as a restricted free agent. That came out a couple of days ago that, you know, very well placed sources, you know, that this is what they're thinking, second round tender. I don't know about you, but I've watched a fair amount of Terrence Steele, and I would be very interested in him.
He's one of the best right tackles in football, like right now.
Yeah, I think that's accurate, and so I think, you know, paying attention to that situation and their cap situation and what they can afford, you know, that will be huge. If they make, he's coming off an ACL injury, right? So he's not going to be ready till he'll be ready in training camp. He's on schedule. They always say ahead of the schedule, but ahead of schedule equals on schedule. So he's scheduled to be able to participate in training camp. That would be a hell of a get at right tackle, a healthy Terrence Steele. If you're able to steal him away from, if you're able to take him away from the Cowboys. But the other one, Alf, who have we been bitching about all year long, all three of us really, that we should have drafted, but instead, you know, we took Channing Tindall, then we took Eric Ezekama. You know, who we've been bitching about all year long?
Zach Tom.
We have been bitching about Zach Tom all year long. Well, here's the knock-on effect of that. Yosh Neiman finds himself on the outside looking in with David Bakhtiari, you know, legend at left tackle. And Zach Tom, you know, filled in at left tackle. He's a rookie. He did really, really well. He filled out a left tackle, and then he at the end of the year, he was the starting right tackle at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But Yosh Neiman is a guy that has played a lot of left tackle, for them last year, and then, for probably the first five or six games this year. And then they moved him to right tackle, and he is a fit for this system. Like he's one of those guys. I actually had to, you know, kind of, it's these guys sometimes fool you. And I'm looking at him, I'm like, I wonder how big he is. He doesn't look very big. Mm. And I look it up. He came out of the draft. He's 6'7" and 313 pounds when he came out of the draft. He's like 320 some odd pounds now. And he has 34 inch arms. He is a monster. The reason he doesn't look very big is because he moves like a little guy. You know, he's got that burst and explosiveness and mobility to move like a little guy. I think I've seen every single right tackle game of his this year. That I've been digging into. And if the Dolphins wanted to try and steal as a restricted free agent Yosh Neiman, just knowing that the Green Bay Packers have an embarrassment of riches, you know, because not only do they have David Bakhtiari and now Zach Tom, but Elkton Jenkins is signed and he filled in at tackle, you know, really well. He was, he's a really good tackle. They can play him at tackle anytime they want, you know? So they have an embarrassment of riches at the tackle position in Green Bay, and that might free up, you know, a Yosh Neiman. I don't know what kind of tag they're going to put on him, what kind of tender they're going to put on him. But you know, with their cap situation the way it is, they've been running hot on the cap, and it's going to actually cost them some money to get rid of Aaron Rodgers this year. I kind of wonder about that. Like, I think he would be a stellar addition to the Dolphins. He has 4.88 speed. You know, at 6'7", 313 pounds, he runs a 4.88. You know, and you see it; it pops. You go, you look at it on film, and it is clear that he is a mover and he is really explosive. He has the feet to keep working. You know, I a lot of every offensive lineman can lose on that first move, right? Every offensive lineman can get hit on that first move. It's the offensive lineman that can recover and that can keep working that that you're really looking for. And that's where I think I get interested in a Yosh Niemann, because he has the feet and the active hands and the strength. I mean, he shows strength. He did 27 bench reps back in the day with 30, you know, over 34 inch arms. So, but he can really recover, and he keeps working at it, and he's got the right temperament mentality. He's got the right way that he uses his hands, keeping them inside the frame, keep punching, keep moving the feet. You know, that's, he's got that, he's got all that going for him. And he's still a young player. I think he's like 27 years old. And I think, oh, and by the way, you know, I mentioned the ESPN run block win rates, like, you know, and Mike McGlinchey's number five on that list. Guess who's number one? Yosh Niemann is the number one run blocker in the NFL, according to, or at tackle, according to ESPN's analytics. And you watch it, it shows up on tape. I mean, you can see why. This guy can do anything in run blocking. Oh, and what system do they run? It's run by a LaFleur. They're practically, yes, like camping buddies, you know, McDaniel and the LaFleurs, you know. So he would come in. I think, you know, maybe sometimes I watch a Yosh Niemann and I'm thinking to myself, you know, maybe I'm getting too stuck in the box with Mike McGlinchey as far as the system fit, you know, because he ain't the only system fit. And he's not the only guy that hails from a similar system. And so I watch, I'd really keep an eye on Yosh Niemann. I would love to get something done there. I don't know how willing the Packers would be. You know, if they're going to throw a second round tender, does that mean we have to throw a second round pick at him? But here's what I do know. He played a lot of left tackle last year and the beginning of this year, and he played well. And if you think that he's a young ascending player and he's going to be playing next to Teron Armstead this year, and, you know, hopefully you have a good coaching staff coaching him up, you know, Teron Armstead's going to miss games.
Right? Yes.
And he's also, I don't know when he's going to leave the Dolphins or when they're going to, you know, they're going to cut him short. But when that happens, it would be nice to have an actual left tackle option.
Yeah.
And I think that down the road, I think that Yosh Niemann is starting right tackle and a damn good one for us this year. And maybe even down road taking over at left tackle for Teron Armstead.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the left tackles, and I think we could finish up here with a couple of names, the left tackle converts, none of them excite me. Taylor Lewan is way too injured. Orlando Brown is going to be extremely expensive. Kansas City faced him down. I think he'll end up back there on, he's going to sign a contract that we're going to look at and we're going to be like, what did he just sign? But, you know, we weren't going to be players in that. Donovan Smith, uninspiring and expensive.
And a left tackle.
Yeah.
Pure left tackle.
Kind of a quick fix. And a guy who I've mentioned a couple of times is George Fant. Now, you know, he's a right tackle these days, but his best work, and I wanted to get your opinion on this. His best work was a couple of years ago. Well, 2021, he had a pretty big season as a left tackle, playing majority in left tackle. What do you make of guys like that, that they should translate as a right tackle to your system?
Except he was bad this year as a right tackle.
But he's,
like, he moved
bad
over and he was bad.
Like, you would think George Fant as a right tackle, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But he was bad this year. Mm-hmm. But it's just a year ago that he was really, really good, as in, you know, one of the better tackles in football, good at left tackle. What do you do with that? And he's a guy that should be cheap. Like, this is, like, he's coming down in salary, especially considering what he played for this past year. I don't know, man. Like, a quick fix? He's better than Brandon Shell. No?
Well, so here's the thing that I challenge about that. If he was as good as all that, you know, I'm looking at his payday, right? I'm looking at his pay history. you know, it's a modest contract, and his last contract was kind of a modest contract, and I think, you know, he's in for a downgrade off of that, not an upgrade. And so I, you know, it really is the opposite of getting an ascending player, you know. Because he's 30 years old, as you mentioned. Like, you know, you don't see that 4.84 speed anymore, certainly after all the injuries he's taken. And so you're looking at a 31-year-old injury prone player that looks like he's on a downslope, and that at a position that, you know, the first time they moved him over to that position and tried to get him to play, he was bad at it. So, you know, what if you do that, like, what are we doing here? Like, that I would have to really question that.
All right. And we're going to finish up here. Terrence Steele, we spoke about him when the Cowboys drafted him. Okay. Like, what do you make of this trajectory? When they drafted him, they were basically looking at him like, oh, like it was Austin Jackson bad or Liam Eikenberg bad. And then all of a sudden, they did something very simple with him. Okay. They started playing him as the swing tackle, and they gave him snaps inside of games to the point where he actually had to start playing at right tackle, and they were stuck because they had some injuries. And then he just stuck at right tackle and hasn't left since. And to the point where, you know, when he was out, they decided, okay, we could even move him to left tackle. He shows some versatility, but when he plays at right tackle, he was actually really, really, really good. And this is what I find extremely interesting. You know who he credits for helping him, I guess, find his footing as a right tackle in the NFL?
I'm curious.
He says, and this is a direct quote, "This guy was the best coach I've ever had. He's the one who told me to keep things." No, he told me to keep the main thing, and to keep my craft together. Joe Philbin.
You know, as much as we pan Joe Philbin, and I think that he deserves it, you look back at the coaches that he put together as assistant coaches and what they're doing nowadays.
Yes.
Pretty crazy, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, Zach Taylor, you know, we're talking Lou Anarumo, you know, a bunch of guys that were here for the offensive coordinator that's real hot with the Lions right now is that Ben Johnson? Is that his name?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that was a Joe Philbin guy down in Miami. It's interesting just to, you know, non sequitur just think about. But yeah, that is interesting. He credits that. I don't know that, you know, it's going to help one way or the other. But I know that, hey, this guy is still only 25 years old right now.
Yeah, long, lean, you know, good body guy.
As we speak, he's 25. He'll turn 26 in June. You know, gosh, if that just costs a second round pick, and he's one of the best right tackles in football, you know,
yeah,
that's a. You take that deal.
One of the first draft shows we ever did on 3 yards per carry, I kind of liked them.
Yeah.
You remember I brought them up once and you're like, I don't know, Texas Tech. Like, who gives a shit?
There was something, I can't really remember. There was something like he either showed out or had a really terrible Senior Bowl. I can't remember which.
There were warts for sure. Yeah.
I forget which one it was, but it was like, you know, Jesus, people are making a big deal out of this dude. Like,
yeah.
So,
one thing about Joe Philbin, he is getting credited with the great work that he did with Terrence Steele. He had him for his whole career, basically. And for his reward, he got canned. So, yeah, Joe Philbin is no more.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that Dallas offensive line keeps putting off good players, right?
Yeah, they found that key. That what the hell's that? That's Tyon Smith, because they have so many Smiths.
Tyron Smith.
Yeah,
are you talking Tyler Smith?
Yeah, Tyler Smith. Yeah, the kid that took over for Tyon. Yeah, Tyron. Yeah, absolutely. Like, that kid can play. Like, that's a good player.
Well, I mean, Connor Williams can play.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, they find good players.
Lyle Collins was good most of the time he was there. Mm-hmm. And now I think the Bengals are already going to get rid of him.
Yeah, he became intransigent with the Cowboys, and they didn't want to put up with him, and they didn't want to pay him. You know.
Yeah.
But you know, this Terrence Steele thing is worth monitoring only because of this. They just tagged Tony Pollard, and they have a $15 million backup running back. That's a problem.
Cap-wise. Yeah, I mean their cap is an issue. And they're using that second round tender on him, figuring that nobody's gonna really go hard in the paint for a guy coming off an ACL who won't be healthy at signing.
Yeah.
He'll be healthy at training camp, maybe, you know. And so they're taking a gamble, and I don't know. I'd be up for calling their bluff.
Yeah, that's something that's worth monitoring. He's a really, really good right tackle. He's one of the better right tackles in all of football. That I absolutely would visit that. Absolutely. One last thing on the way out here. The Chiefs did a massive overhaul. You remember that overhaul it did of their offensive line. Part of that was using a pretty high pick on Lucas Niang. The guy never plays. Like, what's wrong with him? You think you think he could be had for a song?
No, I think it doesn't really. I don't know that it would benefit anybody to do it, because it's one of those things where, you know, we're trading for him based on what exactly, and then at the flip side of the coin is, you know, the Chiefs are going to be like, wait, we're already giving up on this guy before we even give him a couple of years to try and come up in our system. And so I don't think either side would be particularly motivated. You know, the Chiefs want to find out more about him, and the Dolphins don't know anything about him. You know, that's not, I don't know that's, or don't know a lot about him anyway. And I don't know that's a good combination.
All right. And as far as the Chiefs' current right tackle, is he going to make it to free agency? No, right? Andrew Wiley,
you know, he seems like the type that would go ahead and resign and not even necessarily on top dollar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if I'm being honest with myself, and I've brought him up as a legit option for us, system fit, in that he knows it, and he's got the technique, but he's not got the athleticism that we're talking about with Mike McGlinchey or Yosh Niemann.
Mm-hmm.
Or Terrence Steele for that matter. But at the same time, you know, it would be an upgrade over the dog shit we'd had.
And we're going to end it right there.
I can't help it. I was, you're talking about Titus Howard. I watched that Houston Miami game again. And this time I was, you know, on purpose, when I'm watching these offensive linemen, I often keep referring back to Miami tape, to the Miami offensive linemen, because I want a good feel for the comparison. I want a good feel for what we ask our guys to do, and what the versus what we're seeing from the potential candidate. And my God, I forgot how bad Austin Jackson was in that game. Just so off. He looked like he did not belong on an NFL playing field. And I don't say that lightly, because the things that he was doing out there with his hands, with his feet, you know, with his body, are just so not professional offensive linemen. You know, like it's so alien, and he's always been that way. And it's just, I don't get it. I do not get it. I frankly, I wouldn't even, I don't think I'd, I don't even know if I'd bring him to camp. Be honest.
Yeah, and then this past season was a complete. He punted on the entire season. It was just, you know, he played what, two games? Those are the only two games he played.
And yeah, he played both of them. The first game, and then he played the Houston game, and he got injured during the Houston game.
Yeah, and he left both like what, halfway or something like that.
Yeah, so, and you know that enters a, you know, is this going to be an injury prone guy on top of being just terrible at football?
Yeah. No, speaking of injury prone guys, Juwan James is a free agent. He is a local favorite. Everybody in that training room loves him. They'll really love him now if he just shows up. But he keeps getting handed starting right tackle jobs, and then he keeps going down. Okay. Because Denver got all excited, signed to a big deal, went down. Ravens signed him and like, all right, we got our right tackle here. And he goes down again. He's a free agent. I will keep an eye out on Juwan James as far as a camp invite. You know, just to kick the tires, man. You know, to see what do you got. He's only 30. Okay.
Yeah, he's the Jimmy Garoppolo of tackles.
Yeah. So I would keep an eye out on Juwan James. You know, it's not the worst thing in the world if our swing tackles are Eric Fisher and Juwan James.
Well, you know, yeah, that's the thing.
You can't get injured on the bench. You know what I'm saying?
Miami doesn't just need a right tackle. We're obsessed with the right tackle, and deservedly so. But they need a swing tackle as well.
Yes.
They don't just need the right tackle. They need the right tackle to replace Austin Jackson, Brandon Shell. But they also need the swing tackle to because Greg Little's not going to be back.
No. He fell out of favor.
I am positive on that. And so he was kind of what they had in mind for swing tackle, left, right. And this is I keep going back to Cam Fleming. You know, if he only made $1 million last year and you're wondering, like, how much more could he possibly make this year? He's perfect swing tackle. Perfect. You couldn't get better. So, you know.
Yeah. And it's also interesting about Greg Little that, you know, we hear about Matt Applebaum and what went down there. He was playing a lot. And then all of a sudden he just disappeared. And Brandon Shells of the world and Kendall Lambs of the world started showing up. And it turns out that those things were happening when Frank Smith was the one who was actually running the offensive line room. So, yeah. So we're beginning to learn a few things. So Greg Little, yeah, not for long. Like, it's not going to work for him, you know.
Yeah.
Eric Fisher should be back, you know. And yeah, I would look. You know, it's
we think. Yeah, and that could be our swing tackle. That could be the answer.
Yeah, we think. And and Juwan James, like I said, a lot of goodwill there. I will keep an eye on that. You know, this is not a guy that's going to make many demands. Okay. This is like a street guy. This is this year's Brandon Shell. Chris Greer has a soft spot, you know, for him. And he also has a soft spot for Laramie Tunsil, but Laramie Tunsil makes $24 million a year. Different guy.
Different. Very different situation.
Yeah. Very different. Although they look great. Remember when those were our bookend tackles?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
They look beautiful on that field, but we didn't have the quarterback. We didn't have the defense. We didn't have anything really, but we had nice tackles and a center who's retiring now as a Miami Dolphin, Mike Pouncey. Today he signed a 1-day contract. So
that's right.
He'll be retiring as a Miami Dolphin. I would expect him to hang around this team, man. They tried to get him. As I mentioned this on OnlyFans, they tried to put him in their coaching internship this past year. He was out there on the field this past season. So, you know, not playing, but, you know, he was instructing offensive linemen. So they like him. There's something there. Like, he has a lot of goodwill. Some players are guys that just stick around the franchise forever. And Mike Pouncey is one of those guys. He's always at camp. Like, you'll see him 6, 7, 8 times at camp. So who knows? Maybe there's a future in it as a coach eventually. He also weighs about 215 pounds right now, by the way.
We'll exit on this. I think we'll exit on this this thought experiment. You're on the phone with the Texans. You think you're talking about Titus Howard, but you have this soft spot for Laramie Tunsil.
Mm-hmm.
You always have. He's got an $18.5 million base salary this year. That's quite a bit. It's expensive. It's not cheap. You know, but he's also a free agent after this year. They say second round pick and he's yours. And you're thinking, you know what? fuck it, I will play. And, you know, once upon a time, we played him at left guard, right?
Didn't yeah.
we? You know, you're like, well, maybe I can play him at right tackle. What do you think? Would you do it? Would you pull the trigger? Second round pick, number 51 gone.
Immediately. And I'll tell you why.
Without
even thinking, I'll tell you why. Larry Mutunsil is one of those guys that if he can't play right tackle from playing left tackle all this time, then nobody can.
Right.
His body, his athleticism, it should translate. Like, there shouldn't be a problem for him.
I tend to agree. I would, you know, if we're having that conversation about Titus Howard and they're like, you know, they're looking at that $18.5 million salary and the Texans are looking to rationalize some things and they're like, you know, hey, we're resource gathering and that sort of stuff. And they're like, you know, what about that second round pick of yours? Yeah, I'd probably do it.
Yeah. It wasn't funny that Chris Greer volunteered that every once in a while they text each other back and forth. First of all, you should have never said something like that.
You shouldn't say that. We're trying not to get our picks taken away from tampering.
Yeah, and Chris Greer said that. And that Larry Mutunsil keeps messing with him like, hey, come get me. Come get me.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that anymore, Larry. Okay?
Yeah, don't do that. Don't. Shh.
Yeah. All right, that's it. You got a really meaty episode here. You get to dig into all of these offensive players on free agency. The next time you hear from us, we're going to be talking about defense, linebackers, safeties, Jordan Poyer. Possibly an edge player. Ben Albright's out there already swinging the drum for Dremonta Jones. We shall see. We'll talk about it more later on this week.
Right. We'll talk about him.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.